you can't sneeze when we record.
I'm not doing it on purpose.
No, that's off limits. How long have you been doing this for?
A long time. I can't believe I have to sneeze.
Pro tip, always hang around for our outtakes.
Okay. Ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1. Hi there, I'm Mindy Jensen.
And I'm Carl Jensen.
And this is the Mindy
and Carl
On Money podcast, where we talk about what happens after you reach financial independence.
Oh, so I have a question. Why do we call this show Mindy on Money?
Because it's my show and we're talking about money. You're just my sidekick.
Oh, okay. Can I get paid the same?
You can earn exactly what I earn for this show. A big fat nothing.
Do I have equal voting rights?
No.
Okay. What happens if Mindy and Money blows up and it becomes like a multi-million-dollar enterprise? What is my role then?
You're the and Carl of Mindy and Carl on Money podcast.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll start my own Carl.
And Mindy.
On Money.
No.
Okay. I have sidetracked us. Let's get on with it.
You have. Okay. So on this episode of the Mindy
and Carl
on Money podcast, Carl and I discuss what we are calling the boring middle. The time between when you discover financial independence and when you actually reach it.
But before we get started, let's take a quick break. Today's episode is sponsored by the Bigger Pockets Conference. Is that what it's called? BPCon?
BPCon, the Bigger Pockets Conference. This is an amazing event where you and 1,400 of your closest real estate investing friends get together and talk about real estate investing. You talk about the issues that you're having. You network and meet lenders and investors and money partners and people who have deals but no money. It's a great place to connect with people who want to talk about real estate investing just like you and me. And Carl and I will be there.
Yes, I am not giving any presentations, but I've been contracted to open the whole thing. At the opening party, I'm going to sing the Star Spangled Banner. You don't want to miss this. I have a beautiful singing voice. Juilliard trained.
That's a big fat lie.
Sure is.
He is not Juilliard trained.
So where can people find out more about BPCon?
Go to biggerpockets.com/conference for more information about the 2024 conference. Oh, I didn't even tell them where it's at. It's in Cancun, Mexico.
Ooh, I can't wait.
I can't wait too. And it's in October 6th through 8th, 2024.
I always look for opportunities to wear my hula skirt, and this is yet another one.
What does a hula skirt have to do with the Cancun?
It's like a nice tropical. It's not Hawaii, I know that, but do people really wear that in Hawaii?
No. Okay. At the luau's maybe.
Okay, well, I'm going to wear it at BPCon.
Okay, well, coconut bra too?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Look for him and don't blame me when you see more of Carl than you would like.
Let's jump into the middle.
The boring middle, you mean?
I do mean that. And this question was actually inspired from a listener named Casey in Louisville, Kentucky. Hello, Casey. She sent us an email that said, I really enjoy your conversations about the boring middle and about enjoying the journey along the way. I'm 29, my husband is 33, and we've been investing for about 5 years now. And about 20 to 25% of our expenses could be covered by our assets. Some days it feels like it'll take forever, LOL. But I feel like we're just recently starting to see some pickup due to the beginnings of compounding. So knowing this boring middle is part of the process and still finding ways to stay true to our values and pursue FIRE while enjoying life is a nice reassurance.
I would have to agree that sometimes it does feel like it's going to take forever because you've discovered this amazing thing and you can't wait to get there. It's like a road trip. You're in California and you're driving to Florida, but it takes a long time to drive from California to Florida. So the boring middle can be a whole lot of expressways where you are just seeing dry, dead nothing. Or if you time it right, you could be going through Kansas when they're having their sunflowers. And that's a really beautiful I-70 through Kansas. Check it out when sunflower season is. I don't know when that is. Look it up yourself. It's called google.com. Ooh, that was a little snarky. I didn't mean it to be snarky. I just didn't look it up ahead of time because I'm spitballing right now. But you could also veer off the traditional path, the fastest way to get there, and enjoy yourself. There's lots of fun places to stop along the way. And that is what we're going to discuss today. Not just driving as fast as you can to get to Florida, but instead enjoying the journey.
Wow, that is so good. And I was going to have a little car story, but I can't compare it to what you just said. So this boring middle thing, it's difficult because someone tells you there's going to be this amazing, super great thing in your future, but it might take 10 years. It's like someone coming up and telling me, hey, you get a Ferrari F40. That's like an old school Ferrari. That's cool. And it's right there. You can see it, but you can't touch it. You can't drive it. You can't sit in it for like 15 years, but you know this thing is there. And it's kind of hard not to focus on it. And I think that's where people get lost. That's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, it can be very easy to get lost in what we are terming as the boring middle. And actually, this is not the right way to even phrase it. So we are giving you a phrase and then telling you not to use it in the span of about 3 minutes. But Scott Trench and I on the Bigger Pockets Money podcast have spoken to a little over 500 people. And it seems that if you are starting from a position of a net worth of zero or around zero, it can take you approximately 10 years to reach financial independence. Of course, this varies on your story and your circumstances, but in about 10 years, you will either be there or really super close. You'll be in the Alabama of the California to Florida trip.
Okay. I had to do some...
Alabama touches Florida.
I had to do some geography in my head. I always confuse it, like Alabama, Mississippi, which one's left, which one's right. I'm sorry to offend all our Alabama and Mississippi listeners. And to be clear, when Mindy says 10 years, about 10 years, that is to reach a point where you never have to work again. This isn't Coast Fire. You're completely done fire.
Yes, completely done fire.
Old school
and
fire.
Old school fire, yes. And 10 years is diligently working towards it. What did we do wrong?
What did we do wrong? We discovered fire, and I decided, and maybe this is mostly me, I'll take the hit, I'll take the fall for this, that I wanted this thing so bad, and we were going to do everything we could to attain it. We sold our very nice house, our luxury house that needed no work, and bought a house that needed a lot of work, and then we just went for it. I had a full-time job. And then all of a sudden we had this huge remodel and I was working on the blog at the same time. So I think for that time period, I was probably working 80 or 90 hours a week between all that. And then we had two young children. This was not a good idea. I wanted it so bad. It was by almost any means possible, which is never the right way to go about a goal in life.
Yeah, because we were working so much on the house, his job, I was taking care of the kids, that we didn't have any time to enjoy ourselves. And we could have extended the journey a little bit and had a lot more enjoyment along the way. So that's what we're here to discuss today with you, for you. We're not discussing it with you because you can't actually talk back to us. Although you can always email Mindy@MindyOnMoney.com or Carl@MindyOnMoney.com.
Or leave a comment on the YouTube channel. But yeah, thinking of that, our middle was not boring at all. It was way more exciting than it ever should have been.
Yeah, the frantic, hectic middle. Yeah. Don't do what we did.
Not good. Tetanus shot middle.
That hurts too. Okay, so we're going to get more into the mistakes we made in an episode in the near future. May is mini Mindy on Money month because, how to say that? One time fast, because we are kind of in a bit of a crunch and we still want to provide the value that you have come to love and expect from us every Wednesdays. So we're going to do mini episodes where we answer one question each episode. And one question coming up is, what did we do wrong?
Hold on. I want a chance to say that. Mindy on Money Month.
May is Mini Mindy on Money Month.
May is Mini Mindy on Money Month. When I think of Mini Mindy, I think of Mini Me from Austin Powers. So I'm thinking of a version of you that's like 2.5 feet tall.
That's pretty close to reality.
I don't know if I could handle 1.5 of you. But
yeah. Can you even handle one of me?
No, not really. Not really. I'm deeply sedated most of the time. Just kidding.
Okay. So even if you are just starting out on your journey, the boring middle may take 10 years. It may be shorter, it may be longer. Think of all the things you can accomplish in 10 years. And if you're focusing on the amount of time it's going to take you, you're looking at this all wrong. let's say that your financial independence goal is to amass enough money that you can retire and travel the world. What's to stop you from traveling now? You can travel even though you're in the middle of your journey. And this is a great time to start learning about credit card hacking and credit card points and travel rewards. And because it's the middle of your journey, you can start collecting these points. A credit card that has a high sign-on bonus for an airline company, great. Now you've got some free flights in your future. Learn how to use those flights now. Connect with the Travel Points guy, Travel Miles 101. Who are some other ones? The Points guy, not the Travel Points guy. The Points guy.
Mad Scientist has some stuff on that.
Oh, Mad Scientist? Check out his travel and credit card chooser.
Yeah, he has a real nice credit card tool where you could pick out what you want to optimize for, hotels, cars, cash back, and choose a card based on that.
Yep, there's lots of different places to learn about collecting travel points and how to use them to the most advantage that you can. And now is a great time to start learning that. You don't want to get to the end of your journey and then discover this concept and start jumping down that rabbit hole. Take the time now to figure it out. Also, take some of these little trips. Now, a trip to Asia or Europe to see a lot of different countries might not be feasible while you still have a full-time job or your kids are in school or both. But you can certainly start traveling in some of the shorter trips around the country. Go to a national park. Go to a bunch of national parks. Go to Disney. Take a road trip. Go see the, what's in South Dakota? The Badlands. Oh my goodness, that is such a cool space. I can't believe that exists in America. It is such a cool place to go and see. And there's a lot of places that America has to offer that you can combine your newfound travel rewards information and education with your I want to travel now. You might discover that travel isn't your jam. Light travel is our jam. Heavy travel all the time is not our jam.
I'm going to build on what you said here. This is a really good time to experiment with what life is going to look like afterwards. And I'll back up a second. I don't think it's a healthy thing to have a big job and all this stuff and then just jump off and your life completely pivots. I think you need to start working on the life you want right now. It's going to be a little bit difficult, but it's also going to make it easier to make that transition. Once you do leave your job, you're going to have stuff to transition to because you've thought about it already.
Yep, absolutely. One thing that I think that a lot of people assume about becoming financially independent and quitting their job is that it's going to solve all your problems. How many problems did quitting your job solve?
It solved my money problem. It solved the problem of not having enough money because that was part of what I had to do to quit the job.
Wait, what?
Yeah, money will solve money problems. It won't solve anything else.
I'm so confused. You were supposed to say it solved the problem of I hate my job.
Yeah, okay. It solved the problem of I hate my job.
Okay, so when you hate your job, continuing in that job because you want to reach financial independence is not the best choice. If you really, truly hate your job, and I have had jobs that I woke up in the morning and was like, oh, I can't believe I have to go to work. Find a new job. Don't stick it out because you're there already. Try to find something else that gives you joy or at least doesn't suck the soul right out of your body. Because when you are in a job that you hate, it permeates every aspect of your life. It is not fun at all. And I have a great example right to my right. Mr. Carl Jensen, you had a job that gave you a lot of anxiety.
You shouldn't stay at a job you don't like just because it pays well or it's close. You have to find your happiness now.
Yes. Okay. So back to what I was saying before, a lot of people think that financial independence is going to solve all of your problems. And really the only problem that it's going to solve is a money problem. And I don't have enough money problem. Well, now you have enough money. That problem is solved. But if you and your spouse are having problems, having more money isn't going to fix your problems. If you and your kids aren't getting along, you and your parents aren't getting along, having more money isn't going to change any of that. So you need to be working on these little things in your life that you don't love, little aspects of your life that aren't pleasing to you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I'll say financial independence might actually exacerbate some of these issues, because once you don't have a job, once you have autonomy over your life, things will bubble to the surface that might have been hidden. For example, I don't like a lot of clutter in our life, and not like our house is some like tornado disaster hoarders episode, but it was a little bit more untidy than I like. And I pretty much glossed over it or ignored it because I had a job, I had a lot of other stuff going on. But now I've got a lot more time to think about things. So some of these things that might have been buried or minor issues all of a sudden become major issues. So if you want to find out who you really are, quit your job and give yourself lots of time to think and introspect. And you might find out some truths about yourself and your relationships.
Yeah, there was a period of adjustment when he left his job. I was already working at Bigger Pockets when he ultimately retired. And all of a sudden, our roles were reversed. And I was the stay-at-home parent, and he was the working parent. And now he's the stay-at-home parent, and I'm the working parent. And our girls were young enough, they didn't get the memo. They kept coming to mom for everything. And it was a period of adjustment for you to be home all the time.
Absolutely. I wanted to trade places with you during COVID when we had to homeschool and one of our children did not want to be homeschooled. It was rough. I'm like, man, I wish I could be like Mindy and have a job and just go to my computer instead of fighting with my child for 9 hours a day.
Oh my goodness. She refused to learn. It wasn't just that she didn't like it. She refused. That was not a treat.
Okay. If you're watching on YouTube, now is the time in the podcast where we touch the bull. Would you like to?
What are you talking about? Why are you so weird?
We have a Wall Street bull sculpture and we rub its snout for good luck. So I'm rubbing it now. You can tune into YouTube to see this. Would you like
that to? That sounds so dirty.
Would you like to? No, it's a snout. Dirty minds have dirty thoughts. I don't. I have no idea what you're thinking. Just touch it.
You make me nuts.
See, now the podcast is going to be even better because you touched the bull.
Oh my goodness.
No bull. I don't want to say a bad word. This is a PG podcast.
Yes, this is a PG podcast. Okay. Don't say bad words.
Okay, let's move on.
Let's please move on. Okay. Another thing that may be helpful to you during your boring middle is to stop checking in on your money. It's going to do what it's going to do. The stock market is going to perform how the stock market is going to perform, and your stocks are not going to call you up and ask for your opinion about what's going on. You have zero influence on your stock holdings and your index funds and things like that. And if it gives you some anxiety to see it all the time, then simply stop. Check in once a month, once a quarter, every 6 months, even once a year, just to make sure that your portfolio is balanced the way that you want it to be balanced. And then stop checking, because you are not going to go from zero net worth or anything close to zero net worth to 1 million, 2 million, whatever your goal is, in 1 year. Unless you win the lottery, in which case that doesn't have anything to do with stocks anyway. So if you're experiencing some anxiety or some, oh my goodness, this is never going to end feelings, stop looking at your money so frequently.
I completely agree with this, but it cracks me up because my blog was 1500days.com, because that is the amount of days I thought it would take for us to accumulate the money we would need to retire. I knew it at the time, but it's a completely ridiculous goal because you're invested in the stock market. And what do you have absolutely no control over? The stock market. Yes. So don't look at that stuff. I mean, every time you look at that, you're taken out of the present moment, and it's either going to make you happy or sad, but it's not good. And it should be a long-term thing. And that's why you shouldn't look at it every day or probably even every week or every month.
Look at your current life and examine your day-to-day. What is it that you don't like? If it's your job, get a new job. If it's cleaning, we hate cleaning. And that doesn't mean that we're slobs. It means that we just hate cleaning. So we have taken our wealth and used it to hire a cleaning person to come into our house every 2 weeks. It has been life-changing. I no longer feel obligated to clean my house all day Saturday, every Saturday, because I've got somebody coming in who will clean it instead. And she does a better job. She's super quick. And my house looks great for 2 weeks. I wish we would have done this sooner. Can you imagine if we had a house cleaner when the girls were little?
Oh, it would have been great.
It would have been fantastic. So if you hate cleaning as much as I hate cleaning, as much as we hate cleaning, it's both of us. It's a two-party event there. Then hire somebody now during the boring middle so that you take that off your plate. If you don't like to cook, find somebody who can cook for you. There's so many different things that you can do. Lawn, shoveling snow. There's so many different things you can do to take things off of your plate that aren't ultimately going to have a huge effect on your net worth, but could have a huge effect on your mental space.
Yeah, this is a pretty profound point. We actually talked about this with Brandon when we interviewed the Mad Scientist a couple of weeks ago. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. A lot of people think about happiness wrong in that they think, what can I add to my life that could make me happy? Like season tickets to a baseball game or a car or whatever. But one much easier thing that you could do now is say, what could I subtract from my life? What makes me unhappy? What could I outsource that will allow me to focus on the things I really want to do in life? Like, we can do this podcast because we've outsourced some of these things that we don't want to do and really don't have the time. That might be more of a thing. Like, despite our retired status, it's semi-retired, I guess. It's still,
speak for yourself.
It's hard to find time in the day. It takes a lot of work to keep this bowl up to, again, I'm looking at my those YouTube viewers. I'm looking at the bowl here. It takes a lot of work to keep this bowl the way it looking like it does.
Not really.
Oh, yeah.
I pretty much put zero effort into it. One last tip for you during your boring middle is to consider a sabbatical. If you have some money now, but your time horizon is 3, 4, 5 years down the road, consider taking some time off to see what retirement looks like.
Yeah, this is a really good point because certain years of your life have more of value than others. And for those of you with kids, I'm thinking when they're young and before they start school, they're only going to be that time once where they're around you all the time. If you can swing this, why not take some time off then and then go back to work when they're in school? You've got free childcare at that point, maybe free if they're in public schools. But yeah, this doesn't have to be an all or nothing proposition like it was for us. You don't have to accumulate some huge number and then just decide to stop. You can experiment. Take time off. Take a mental health break. A lot of companies support these types of things now. And that could be a great experiment to see if FI and not having a job is really going to resonate with you as well. It doesn't stick with everyone. I think it sticks with most, but it might not with you. And that would be a great experiment for you to do just to make sure that you're really going to like it. I like to think that most people, when they try it, it's going to make them even want it even more, which might make the boring middle problem even worse. But I think that's a good thing too.
And if you are a valuable employee to your company, like our friend Robert, he wanted to take some time off to go on a really long hike. And he was ready to quit, and his company convinced him to just turn it into a sabbatical so that he could come back because he provides so much value to his company. So some things to think about: if you don't like your job, then get a new one. If you have problems outside of, I don't have enough money, FI isn't going to solve them. So start working on fixing those problems so that by the time you retire, all of your life is rainbows and unicorns. Start leaning into the things that you're considering doing after you hit retirement, like travel or exercise, or, you know, what are some things you do? Working on the house and podcasting.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we spend a lot of time at the gym. I spend a lot of time polishing up this Wall Street Bull sculpture that we have here. What else do we do? I like to take walks, listen to podcasts.
Like super long walks.
Record content. Yeah, I try to walk 10 miles a day, like 25,000 steps.
10 miles a day? That's what that is?
Yeah, 25,000 steps.
Oh my goodness, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, pretty epic, right?
Epic.
Yeah, now you have even more respect for me.
That's it. You nailed it. So yeah, lean into the things that you are considering doing and start making a bucket list. The movie, The Bucket List. I don't know if The Bucket List existed before that movie, the term, that's where I got it from. But having a list of things that you want to do before you kick the bucket could be a really great thing to start thinking about now. And add everything you can think of. You may or may not get through the whole list, but it's fun to think about the future as well, while still living in the present. And a lot of those things on your bucket list, you could cross off during the boring middle. And finally, consider a sabbatical. Take some time off work and see if early retirement really is right for you. One more year syndrome is real, but what if you flip that around and purposely did one more year so that you could enjoy the journey the entire way? I think that's the best way to approach financial independence.
Yeah, if everyone had their perfect job, I don't think FIRE would actually be a thing. And I don't think it's the thing it once was, because I think many of us have healthier relationships with our jobs. We're not working like crazy. We're not only having a week or two off of vacation. A lot of companies have unlimited vacation policies. So I think many of us have healthier relationships. So why not find a way to really enjoy it now? And that's kind of the big takeaway. The boring middle is a bad term. It shouldn't be boring at all. No parts of your life should be boring. You should find ways to make every part great, because life isn't about destinations. It's not about accomplishing goals, because those are fleeting. You're going to retire once. You're going to finish your kitchen remodel one time. But life is lived in the journey. That's where you're going to spend your time. And that's where you have to find enjoyment. So it's okay to ponder the future every once in a while, but spend most of your life living in the present.
I love it. All right. Next week, we are going to talk about, does FIRE need a rebrand?
Ooh, and this is the Mindy Monthly May, Mindy Super, I forgot what you're calling it. It's good.
May Mini Mindy on Money Month.
May Mindy Mini on, on May Month.
May Mini Mindy on Money Month.
May Mindy Money on Mini Month.
You're the worst. You're doing it wrong on purpose.
May Mini Mindy on Money Month.
There you go.
There's a lot of M's. That's a lot of, I love alliteration.
Alliteration.
It's overboard.
Super alliteration. Yeah, all right. Crazy. So we will talk to you next week.
Bye. You've been a professional podcaster for years. Is this the first time this has ever happened? Or?
No. We just edited it out.
Have you ever farted during a recording?
No.
You don't need to answer that.
Wow. What a horrible thing to ask me. So, you can complain to carl@mindyonmoney.com.
I have a funny story which I'll relate to you right now.
You don't have to say you'll relate to me right now. You could just tell it.
Okay. I'm not a professional like you. Stop judging. So I was at a retreat, as you know. I hope you know we're married, and I wasn't there for 7 days.
I didn't realize that. Tell your story.
Okay. So during the retreat, there was like a guided visual meditation thing where we're all sitting on the floor around a pretend campfire, and we're visualizing sending our anxieties into the campfire. So in the middle of this thing, I feel my stomach start to churn. I'm like, oh, wow, I have to fart. And they really did not like when people got up in the middle of these things. So the next thought I had in my head was, I'm going to sit here and just let it out super quiet.
That never happens. That never works.
You can see where this is going.
I can.
So I let it go, and it wasn't as quiet as I thought it would be. But this is in California, so it wasn't like earthquake level either. It was maybe like 0.1 on the Richter scale.
That's still a lot for a fart.
It was pretty loud, but I'm like, I don't know, did anyone hear it? So a couple of days later, I was pretty comfortable with the group I was in, and I'm like, yeah, during that exercise, I had to let one rip, and I did it. Did anyone hear it? And this other person goes, oh, I totally heard that. I was wondering who did that. I'm like, oh, no. So there you have it.
Fun little fact. I used to work with the granddaughter of the man who invented the Richter scale.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say the granddaughter of the man who invented the fart. I'm like, I don't think he invented that.
No, humans just invented that. Like, infants do it. Remember when Claire was, like, old? And I was holding her, and you're like, say excuse me. I'm like, that was the baby. You're like, yeah, okay. And then you were holding her a couple of days later. You're like, oh my God, she farts like an adult.
I still think it was you.
It was the baby. Pro tip, if you have to fart, hold the baby and blame it on them.